Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to Lake Life Weekend podcast number 31. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and it's August. It's hot. It's the hottest month of the year, and it's exciting. We have lots going on. Please stay tuned also for our guest today, Kelly Wakescheid of Harmonious Architecture from Purim, speaking about lake life, building your lake home, and some of her experience. Very interesting. Before we come to the events this month, or this week, there's some news updates. We want to alert here. Citizens Science event needs volunteers on Saturday, August 5. Volunteers are needed all across Minnesota for a statewide search for Starry Stonewort, the newest aquatic invasive species to reach Minnesota. People from all over will gather at various sites to learn how to identify and search for it. The first spotting on this invasive algae was in 2015 in Lake Coronis. Since then, it has been spread and found in 9 lakes throughout Minnesota. The event is free for all participants, but registration is required. Any child under the age of 18 must be accompanied by an adult or guardian. One site location is at the Chief Winongar statue, just north of Battle Lake, so in our area. The full list and further information can be found online at starrytrack.org. A link is provided on our website, lakelifeweekend.com, or by contacting the Extension Educator at the Minnesota Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center, Megan Weber. Her phone number would be 763-767-3874. We found this article on the Fergus Falls Journal, and there's also a link to the full article. Another news update, Fergus EDA plans to ask council to purchase more land. It's always interesting. Small communities like Fergus are very active in bringing economical growth to the area. So there's something, if you are from the area, you may want to look into that. There's some proposal being made to the council in Fergus for land purchase and development. Also, please, I mentioned last time, there is a photo contest in the Ottertail Lakes Country Association put together an annual photo contest. Please vote for the 5 finalists between August 1st and August 31st, the whole month. You can put your vote up. There's a Facebook page, Ottertail Lakes Country, and find that. And I have seen some amazing pictures for sunsets. Most beautiful sunset in Ottertail. I think that's a great photo contest, so check that out. Coming to events, WeFest is around the corner. August 3rd through August 5th, Soul Pass Ranch. I think everybody knows this annual music festival. I don't have to say anything. There's a huge lineup, as every year. Make sure if you travel past Detroit Lakes or along Highway 59 there, you know that there's event traffic and you have to be a little patient. But I must say last year it was smooth traveling. I already saw the campers lined up. It's I think it's one of the biggest country events in North America. Stunning. So WeFest.com for a full list of the event, and also on our website. Purim Crazy Days, August 4th, 8 a.m. through August 5th, 5 p.m., a two-day event. Crazy Days with crazy deals all week long, right on Main Street here in Purim. So if you want to come out this weekend there. We have a WeFest party at Zorbis, DJ Mike Nelson, August 4th, all day long, 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. We'll party all weekend long during the WeFest weekend there at Zorbis in Detroit Lakes. Breakfast on the Farm, we mentioned it a while back. This August 5th, 7 a.m. till 12 p.m. at the Ziegler Farm at 490th Street in Purim. August and Betty Ziegler will host a breakfast at the farm, at their farm on August 5th, and they invite you. So find a link on our website, lakelifeweekend.com, as well. There's a young angler tournament. I found that to be very interesting. as a maximum allowed of 40 teams, one adult and two young anglers, 17 years or younger, on Little Pine Lake in Perham, 8 a.m. through 7 p.m. this August 5th. And won't believe it, but the winning team will take home a Lund A12 board, Mercury motor, and Shoreland trailer. I'm serious? If I could, I would go this weekend. I can't with my son. FMWalleyes.com, Little Pine AYA tournament. Find a link on our website. Also, I think that's really a great little young angler tournament to be taken part in. Then August 5th as well, for the adults, 4 p.m. through 6 p.m., live music at Richwood Winery, Callaway County Highway 34. Music from Jim Burt. Enjoy the music with a glass of wine. And then we have also beginning this upcoming week, I should say, Pine to Palm Golf Tournament, all week next week. Huge event. Detroit Lakes Country Club, Highway 59. And it's the 85th annual Pine to Palm Golf Tournament taking place at the Detroit Lakes Country Club. We have a link. I'm not sure if you can still participate, but it's so big, I think it will be interesting to even watch. And then we have Crazy Days in Detroit Lakes, also August 8th, downtown Detroit Lakes, from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Biggest one-day sale of the year. Come to downtown Detroit Lakes next week on Tuesday, too. And don't forget Tuesdays in the Park in Detroit Lakes also. Today there was playing, let me go back here, Mark Fogelson, and check our website next week for the program on August 8th. And now I will transition this over to our interview guest with Kelly Wegscheid. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm here with Kelly Wegscheid of Harmonious Architecture from Perham, building dreams in Lakes Country. And welcome, Kelly.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being so spontaneous, joining me here on this interview. And I would like to learn about building dreams on the lake and any kind of regulation, obstacles, and those things. But before we talk professional, maybe a little bit about Kelly. Where you're from, you have an architecture degree, of course.
Yes. So I grew up in Wapton, North Dakota, and went to NDSU in Fargo for architecture. And during that time, my parents had a lake home on Otter Tail. So I've grown up in Lakes Country my whole life and very much value the peace and quiet and the serenity of just sitting in the lake or sitting on the boat or growing up in that lake's environment. So when I went to school for architecture, I knew that I wanted to design lake homes specifically. So I went to Brainerd and worked at a large firm for a while after I graduated and did design build architecture there and designed lake homes and commercial work, and then got a chance to be back in the Perm area and was really excited about that. So we have been back here for 11 years now, and I have owned my own firm, Harmonious Architecture, that specializes in lake home design for 7 years now.
Okay, there's the train. I'm sorry, this is live. Mm-hmm. We're in Perham for sure. Mm-hmm. So you are already as a self-employed for a decade.
Yes.
And it's interesting. So what is so different to you from building just a home to building a lake home?
There are definitely differences. I also do design homes in Fargo, in the city limits of Fargo, and they're very different in their use. So in Fargo, for example, we would say, okay, we're designing a home for a married couple with three kids, and this is how they're going to use their home every day. And we design around that. Or they're a retired couple, and this is how they use their home, and they want main level living, and then they have guest space upstairs, something like that. But when you come to the Lakes Country, you have a whole different scope of how that cabin is used or lake home. It could be a younger family that's buying a small home right now because their kids are small and they want to expand it down the road, or maybe they have inherited a family cabin that's a small cabin from way back when, and they're going to use it for the time being until their family grows. And that's really a lot of my clients right now are people that have had a lake cabin in the family for a really long time. So it could have been built in the 30s or the 40s, and families are now just outgrowing those little cabins. So when we design new cabins or lake homes for them, it's typically maybe a couple in their 50s or 60s who want to rebuild a home for themselves and their kids and grandkids to come. So now we're building a home that has to be comfortable for two people on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So maybe main level living. But then on weekends or the 4th of July week or other holidays, that home maybe fills with another 10 people.
Mm. So capacity.
Capacity, yes. How can you make it feel homey for two people but still accommodate 12 people? So the use is very different. We get bigger bedrooms so that a couple can fit a crib in there or a bunk bed along with their bed to fit a whole family in one room. So maybe an older couple with three kids might have three large bedrooms so that each family of their children can have a bedroom. Mm. Or another thing we've seen is smaller bedrooms and then a bunk room for the grandkids, maybe over the garage or something like that. Mm. So it's really kind of about flexibility and being able to accommodate a lot of people on a fairly regular basis sometimes every weekend, or maybe an irregular basis where it's like everybody comes and stays for a week. Mm. So very different use as compared to, say, a Fargo home.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. And I never really, well, I thought about it, but it's coming more clear now. Mm-hmm. And I learned that in this area, and as most people here know, I'm from Germany, everything mm-hmm. a little different for me sometimes. But often I see that it's just a builder that happens to build me something that I sketched. Mm-hmm. Well, where the professional expertise, the architect's value, and I'm used to actually involving an architect back in Germany by code almost, I believe. But you have the ability to kind of deliver an expertise where you can say, hey, you want a cozy home actually every day for you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. And then you bring this harmonious touch, right?
Correct.
That's where your name drives from? And
yes.
Yeah.
And the hard part too is if you have a stretch of beach where you have all little cabins, they were all built probably around the same time, mm-hmm. 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, whenever. They were typically pretty small little cabins, one story or maybe a story and a half little cabin. So now as we're putting these bigger homes in there, the trick is to put that home in there with a lot more space, but not make it look so overwhelming. You know, they don't want it to look like a big two-story box that's going to, you know, make the other homes look dwarfed and dinky and tiny. They want this certain amount of space, but they want it to fit in and blend with their surroundings. So that's where we get the story and a half, or we get the dormer pieces that add a little bit more square footage upstairs that's mm-hmm. usable, those kinds of things, because it would be easy just to put a square two-story box on a lot, but everybody has seen those before, and you can definitely tell that they look out of place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so the inside and the outside. Mm-hmm. So the architect is bringing the harmony in the complete environment from arriving into residing.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, I get it. And very interesting, of course. Speaking of your past experience, and you must have begin actually where we had a 2006, 2007 downfall, let's say.
Correct.
How did you survive, or what's your experience over the recent past decade of lakes country building and living?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It definitely depends on the year. Some years will be very strong in new home construction when the economy is good and business is booming. And in other years, like especially in 2007, 2008, it was a lot of remodels mm-hmm. or additions. And we still get that, but we do, I think, have more new home construction than we have remodels and additions. But there's definitely both. mm-hmm. scenarios. And whether it's new homes or remodels or additions kind of depends on the economy.
Sure.
People still want to use their lake homes, so if they can't build new, a lot of times they'll find something or take what they have and just expand it a little bit.
And most clients that approach you or find you, do they, just curious, do they have a lot, a building lot already inherited? Do they have it already in, maybe used with a camper for 3 years and then fulfill their dream of growing that into like with a development, improvement? How are your clients like? Who are your clients?
Mm-hmm. My typical clients are people who are near retirement and want to move from the city, whether it's Fargo-Moorhead, maybe the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, something of that nature where they have spent all of their time working and they've had a family cabin. Typically, they've had a cabin in their family for a long time, mm-hmm. whether they purchased it from their parents or they maybe bought it when their children were young and it's always been just a small little weekend cabin. And as people are starting to retire, they want to get out of the city and build at the lake, or they want to build at the lake and be here in the summer and have the ability to go south in the winter or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so that's really very typical where then we'll have clients with 2, 3, 4 grown children bring their grandchildren, and it's really a 3-generation type of scenario.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That home, okay. But the client usually is 55 years of age plus?
Most of them, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious because, well, I'm not even 40 yet, but like, mm-hmm. and I guess it will take me another 10 years too, maybe, mm-hmm. To involve an architect. But I was just curious, as we can see a lot of 35 plus,
mm-hmm.
not only dreaming, but maybe pursuing their goal of having the weekend up at Lakes Country. But I was wondering if they go into tiny home. Do you have smaller homes also that are inquired? Like, let's say somebody 35 to mm-hmm. 40 say, hey, we actually don't need 2,500 square feet and mm-hmm. we don't know where we are with 60.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had projects with 1,200, 1,400? Not really a tiny home, but like...
I would say a modest size home, yes. Not necessarily the tiny home craze mm-hmm. that's like...
1,600 or 900.
Right. Not to that extent, but we've had modest size homes where they're really, you know, say 1,200 square feet on the main level, which is just fine living for two people. And then they're maybe adding a little bit of space up above in kind of a loft scenario or above the garage. So a lot of times that's driven by lot size.
Oh, sure.
So if people have a lot and it's only 60 feet wide, which we've run into before, or maybe 70 feet wide, that really limits the size you can put on there, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, limit the fun or the use or the, you know, the livability of the cabin. It just dictates the shape of the enclosure.
Sure. I was more thinking budget.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, mm-hmm. I don't think we always need to talk $500,000. I am sure we can go fairly far even with 250. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. my question. Like, the lot not always must be 200,000 to start from, to put a 300, right? I mean, like, is there mm-hmm. something? That's why I was thinking a 35, 40-year-old couple. Mm-hmm. I don't know how wealthy everybody is, but can they afford a $500 million second home? You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I assume not.
There are some affordable options out there if people are willing to compromise on either their space or those types of things. There are people who will buy a $100,000 lot or an $80,000 lot, and they will put a garage on that lot with living space above, and that's really a great temporary solution until people know what they want to do down the road. It's fairly affordable. It's not very much upkeep. You know, it's easy to maintain. You can show up there on a weekend or, you know, whatever, turn the heat on and have it ready to go. So it's a great midpoint kind of for people who don't want to spend a lot of money but still want that, the ease of being on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of that, and then down the road either people add on, you know, a house to mm-hmm. that garage part, or the other alternative is to buy a house that's fairly livable on the lake that you are okay with, and then just make some minor repairs to it.
Mm. Or like I guess you can always gut and redesign, right? You can
Correct.
Make it more contemporary, more open, all those things.
Correct.
It always depends on the budget, I guess.
Correct.
If just like a, let's say a top five checklist, do you have any advice, or like if somebody considers to build, let's say in the next year, is mm-hmm. there like a checklist that you give your clients, for example, say like, hey, you should, I don't know. I mean, is there things to investigate? Is there a mm-hmm. package that you say, hey, I have septic under control? Do you have a network of, how does that work? What does the
yes.
architect all do?
Yes. So we start from the very get-go. We have three different levels of service that we provide in our office, and from the basic service all the way to kind of full service. So in our neck of the woods, it seems that people sometimes like to be more involved in the construction part of things, so they'll take on some of that themselves. And other people say, no, I just want you to take care of it. And in that case, we do. But we start very much with the site. So we need to go out there and look at the property. Say it's a property with nothing on it. You know, it's a new lake property. We need to look at that property and say, okay, well, what are the setbacks? What is the county going to let us do? You know, how much building area will this property accommodate so that we still have room for a septic and a well and those types of things? So we need to start with that first and then work within the regulations of the county. After that, then it's really kind of up to the clients as far as, do they want a single story? Do they want a rambler with a basement? Do they want a story and a half with the cute little dormers? You know, what is their style that they want to bring to the table?
Mm. Mm-hmm. And do you involve landscape architects also, or do you have somebody, I'm thinking about lake view or mm-hmm. shoreline modification, or even, I don't know, like mm-hmm. a path, or mm-hmm. not every dwelling. I mean, there's setbacks, 50, 75, 100 feet. It depends on what kind of lake, mm-hmm. as far as I know. And I mean, that's relevant. And mm-hmm. as you pick lakes properties for your, as a passion, for your expertise, mm-hmm. I assume you want to have the best angle towards that. I don't know. Do you want to connect best?
Yes.
What is your scope? What do you...
Yes. So we will sit out at the property and we'll say, okay, what's most important to you? You know, typically the great room is on the lake side, and that's where you have all the windows so you can look out at the lake. But after that, it's, okay, do you want to have your master bedroom with a view to the lake? Is that important to you, or is it not important to you? Do you want to have the dining room on the lake side so that it has maybe a patio door and some windows to the lake? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to have the kitchen there so it's most accessible to outside grilling and picnic tables and dining mm. outside and those kinds of things. So we'll look at that and we'll say, well, where is your best lake view? Do you have a sunrise or a sunset that you're trying to capture? Or where is your access to the lake? Is there already kind of a path there that leads to where the dock is or the swimming area that the landscape would kind of lend itself to promoting that part of the property, mm-hmm. in which case maybe that's where we want to have the screen porch as a buffer between kids coming in from the lake with sandy feet and coming into the house. So we kind of look at those things like, where's the public space going to be, like the kitchen, the dining room, the sandy feet areas, versus, okay, over here is going to be more of the private area where we have carpet and, you know, people should have maybe dried off a little bit before they get over there, or it's the bedrooms, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You, it's so natural to you. I'm listening with big ears here. Mm-hmm. It's just what you do. But like, mm-hmm. there's so many question marks that come up already. Yeah, of course. I have a little bucket for my son, and, mm-hmm. and then wet to dry carpet. Fascinating. Yeah. It's
right.
So yeah. So you make a site visit with mm-hmm. the building individuals, and mm-hmm. then kind of explore.
Yes.
Opportunity mm-hmm. and kind of visualize it and help them see things.
Right.
So it's a lengthy process, maybe? Like
right.
To explore
and
the exploration phase?
Yes, and the outside space as well. Where are the decks going to be in the patios? And, you know, are you facing the west sun where you need something that's going to cover you so you don't fry into a crispy person out there, you know, with too much sun exposure? So it's also considering that outside environment without necessarily getting into the very detailed part of landscaping with plants and things like that. But we do figure in where's going to be decks, patios, pathways to the lake, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a very complex process.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you advise people considering dreaming? Like, do you mm-hmm. say, hey, like, build some equity over the next 5 years, start now? Or like, what do you tell young people like me?
Mm-hmm. I would say find a lot that you are in love with, you mm-hmm. know, that you can afford, and start there. And put a camper on it, or a little garage, or something like that, so that you can enjoy the lake and maybe pay off the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not sure about the whole bank financing and all of that, how that comes into play. But if you could do that, then you could pay off the land.
Have some collateral already.
Right, but you're still yes, and then you're still using the lake though in a smaller fashion with a camper or a smaller structure, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, and still use the lake, find out what areas you love about it and that kind of thing. And then maybe you could put in the septic and the well and start making some of those improvements. And so then you have a big chunk of that already purchased and in place before you take on the major piece of the home.
Yeah, yeah. So this patience thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
Hard.
Yeah, yeah. My strength for sure. But if you have already built a budget and then mm-hmm. it's simply about, hey, let's do this. My, you know, we are about to retire. So mm-hmm. the more mature mm-hmm. couple can move a little bit quicker. And is there like a guideline? It was new to me too. People say like, oh yeah, building, it's like $300 per square foot, and I'm just like, how do you come up with $300? And it includes the kitchen and includes everything. Mm-hmm. Like I'm used in Europe, we build and buy blank, and then I go to IKEA and buy the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty much figured in. So you assist with that too, right? Is there a ballpark for you at LakesCon? Do you say like, hey, it's 220, it's 350, depending on the luxury level?
There is, yes. And actually I was just working on this today, and we have found that there is a pretty solid starting point at $130 a square foot. And that can only go up. It doesn't typically go down. So as you figure that in, you might say, well, why is construction cost so much around here? Well, the long and short of it is we have a lot of windows. We want to see the lake. We want to have a patio and a deck on there so that we can enjoy the outside. You know, we want to be able to have a master suite on the main level so that we can age in place. Mm-hmm. You know, there are these specific things that people want that add cost. Windows are a big thing, you know, better insulation, all of these things now with technology that we know are a better product
mm-hmm.
might also cost a little bit more. So it's kind of that give and take, and it's finding that balance between the luxury items that you want
mm-hmm.
versus the square footage that you actually need, and then meshing those with your budget. So a lot of people think downsizing, but that's not always the case at the lake. If you're trying to accommodate 12 people, you're maybe not downsizing from a Fargo home. It might be similar square footage, or maybe it's slightly less square footage, but it doesn't always relate to downsizing. There can be smaller cabins and modest-sized homes that accommodate a lot of people, too. But when people are exposed to all of these HGTV and all of these, you know, programs on TV that expose you to all of these fabulous things and all these wonderful products and all these great new ideas, it's hard to sometimes tone those down into something that fits your budget. You know, so
a lot of expectations.
Yes.
You experience that from your clients?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I see.
And so sometimes it's telling people, what are you passionate about? What are your main three things you're going to spend money on?
Mm-hmm.
And then limit it to that, and the rest of them just kind of tone it down a little bit. For example, like the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants a beautiful kitchen because that's where everybody hangs out.
Sure.
Well, great, then let's put some money in the kitchen. But at the same time, then in the master bathroom, do you want to have a full custom tile shower, or are you okay with maybe something a little bit hybrid and in between so that you can have this beautiful kitchen that everybody will enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just some of those trade-offs.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, shifting around budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of information, and harmoniousarchitecture.com.
Correct.
One can see a little bit of your profile. You have some images of past projects.
Yes, new homes and remodels.
Okay.
And some commercial projects on there as well.
But. Okay. Mm-hmm. And people do inquire options. You also consult people that may down the road, like you have people calling you. That's an option.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So contact information all on your website.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to share to watch for? Anything else that we?
I would just say that everybody's lake property is different. You know, every site is different. Every view is different. Every view of the lake or the sunrise or the sunset is different. And everybody's families are different in how they use the lake and the lake cabin. So it's really hard to say, I got this plan out of this book and I'm going to plop it down here on this property. You know, that 99% of the time just doesn't work in our scenarios. So.
It's really refreshing. I think we are always driven now by information, say it's HGTV, and I don't even watch TV, to be honest, and I cannot even handle this, all this information. But yeah, kind of get realistic again and actually focus on the given, like every lake, like I say, is different. There's different rules. Maybe some have regulations, even like in an association. Like, you know, some lakes are unique and it's, right? And I think people must bring that understanding and actually value and expert advice.
Like, yes.
Yeah, I can only recommend that to my... Anyways, my dream is to build, and I would not... I don't pretend to be a dentist either when I have toothpaste, right?
Mm-hmm. So, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, that was really interesting. And I think very true for us dreaming of making lake life happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and then maybe talk to you again on next year on some back experience, something that is new, regulations or something. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.